WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned the U.S. has destroyed the sixth boat in the Caribbean in more than a month. It comes on the heels of President Trump's acknowledgement he's authorized covert operations in Venezuela. Former Special Envoy Elliot Abrams.
Whether the CIA actually has the capacity to do what he's asking them to do, that's another question. And I'm not so sure they do.
The president shifts from the war in Gaza to Ukraine a day after a lengthy phone conversation with Russia's Vladimir Putin.
I'm meeting with President Zelensky, and I'll be telling him about the call.
Presidents Trump and Putin have planned a summit in Budapest. A lot of us plan to pony up more for holiday gifts this year. CBS's Jesse Mitchell has details.
A new survey from NerdWallet found Americans could end up spending an average of almost $200 more on holiday gifts this year, in part due to the Trump administration's tariffs.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A majority of school districts across Wisconsin are getting less funding from the state this year. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
70% of school districts are facing a drop in general state aid, according to full data from the Department of Public Instruction. For years, teachers and administrators have advocated for more money and for updates to the state funding formula. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says per pupil spending in Wisconsin has lagged behind inflation and behind the national average. The researchers credit a 2011 change that dropped school revenue limits by 5.5%, a Republican-authored bill that became law under Governor Scott Walker. As they've been in charge of the legislature, Republicans have also focused on lowering property taxes. However, so many school districts are struggling to make ends meet that we're seeing record numbers of referendums on the ballot. Residents are often choosing to raise their own property taxes just to fund their schools. State Senator Jody Habish-Sinikin, a Democrat from the 8th Senate District.
Due to the legislature's failure to fund our schools, Wisconsin already has one of the highest property tax rates in the country. And if our communities continue to be forced to referendum, those tax rates will continue to rise, making our state even more expensive than it already is.
Last year, there were 241 school referendums held across Wisconsin, the most ever. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
In our listening area, the majority of school districts are seeing a cut in funding. Among those with the highest cuts include Adams Friendship with a loss of 16%, Nisida losing more than 17% of their funding, and the highest cut is to Nakusa with a loss of over 18% of state funding. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Another loss for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. In the National League Series, the Dodgers down the Brewers again, this time 3-1. And to make matters worse, Milwaukee slugger Jackson Chourio had to leave the game in the seventh inning, re-injuring his strained right hamstring. Pat Murphy with the update.
Chourio's had a continual cramps in his hamstring. He feels like he's going to be okay. So I'm hopeful.
So the Brewers down now 3-0. Game 4 is tonight. Football, the Badgers and Ohio State Buckeyes kick off at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium. The Packers play the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next week.
You know, you got 5 days. Get your legs back under you. Get back into a great spot mentally, physically, and then it's time to roll. Once the season starts, the first 10, 11 games, like every other day or something like that. So I think it's vital that guys get their legs up under them, get their win back and things like that.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm for mid-October. An isolated shower or two possible late in the afternoon with highs in the low to mid-70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms likely tonight with lows in the lower 50s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, highs near 70. Right now, it's 57.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Bills.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers and Buckeyes square off in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of New Wisco Weekend, Lisa Hale, to talk some color television. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr comes by with great tunes and fun talks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, October 17th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, watching us on Facebook or YouTube, catching us by podcast. I appreciate you wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you and for producer Parker Olson down there in Madison Studio A2. Here's the question. Do you remember the 2004 Red Sox? Of course you do. Of course you remember. It was the greatest league championship series ever. The Boston Red Sox spot the Yankees a 3-0 lead and then come roaring back in game 4. And then they win game 5. And then they improbably win game 6. And in game 7, they complete it. They're down 3-0. They come all the way back and take the series against the Yankees 4-3 to go to the World Series. It was the first time that a team who was ever down 3-0 in the league championship series and came back and won the next 4 games to win it all. And do you know how many times it's happened since then, Parker?
I'm going to guess 0.
0. The number is 0. But there's always that chance. It starts somewhere. And so we're channeling the Sox from 2004 going into tonight's game 4, Brewers against the Dodgers. How is that for starting your day with some optimism? Not just given you some hope?
It's way more optimistic than I am, I'll tell you that.
Well, mine might be a little manufactured. However, I will say, and I've told the story before, I do very clearly remember that 2004 series. I was away on a work trip. So you'd have to go down to the little hotel bar for dinner after every day's classes. And, you know, the first time was game 4. We thought, here comes the Yankees in a sweep, and Boston won. And then the next night, and then a travel day, and then the next night, and the next night. Each time, the crowd in the hotel bar would get a little bit bigger because everybody wanted to see the Yankees lose, of course. And it was great. It was electric. I've never forgotten it. But that's only happened once in 41 instances. The other 40 times, the team that was down 3-0 did not have that kind of crazy comeback. But there's going to be a second at some point. Why can't it be the Brewers 2025?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, let's start with the hitters, right?
Hitting has been so... Pat, it is so incredibly frustrating to watch because the arms have given us such a good chance.
Oh, my goodness. And so... good.
The batting is so poor that I don't even feel like we have a chance.
Well, I mean,
do you know how bad you have to be in one facet to the game to completely wipe out an entirely amazing aspect of your game?
Yes. Yeah. And we're seeing it. It's a nightmare come to life. In fact, I've got a great stat about that here someplace. Oh yeah, franchise history. Okay. In the past five games, which goes back to game three of the division series. So in the past five games for the Brewers, they have just 18 hits. That is the fewest amount of hits in any five game stretch in team history.
Yeah.
I mean, what a way to make history. The most wins in team history to get here, the fewest amount of hits in any five-game stretch to throw it all away. And that's what we're dealing with. You've got, I mean, Christian Yelich, whether you like it or not, you're the franchise player, so you're the poster child. Well, everybody else has slumpy numbers, but we're going to highlight his. 1-for-11 with six strikeouts in this series.
Yelich couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat right now.
That's exactly the thing. Meanwhile, the guy that you worried about, Jacob Mizrowski, has figured it out. Three postseason outings. He's pitched 12 innings. He's allowed only seven hits, three walks, while striking out 16, including nine in last night's game. That's a team record for a rookie in the playoffs. And he retired 11 Dodgers in a row at one point while it was still a 1-1 game. But when you don't get run support, what can you do?
It's kind of, credit to Mizrowski, because I didn't even want him on the roster. So a lot of credit to him. It's cool that Miz, being a rookie, is absolutely killing it in pitching. Yeah. And it's cool that Caleb Durbin, actually. I think Caleb Durbin is probably our best player right now offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's really got a lot of grit. He really does. But then we've got some other pitchers that... I mean, Aaron Ashby, he just never inspires confidence. And so he starts the game giving up a triple and then a double to start the Dodgers scoring. You know, Mizrowski has to come in after just two-thirds of an inning. But truly, it was the Brewers batters becoming mysteriously incapable of making small ball contact. The same contact that helped them beat the Dodgers all six times in the regular season, though Roger is quick to point out on Facebook that back in July, the Brewers swept the Dodgers, but the Brewers were on a wave while the Dodgers at the time had a number of key injuries. Now it's the Brewers who are hurting. The Dodgers are at almost full strength. What a difference 3 months makes.
Yes. Yeah. And we're still making contact.
Oh,
but it's just we're hitting leather finders is the problem.
Yeah, right. Tony is up on YouTube early this morning saying Cleveland had amazing pitching, but the lowest batting average in playoff history. It's really hard to overcome not scoring runs. Yes, that is the object, is to score more runs than the other team does. But again, I'm holding out hope. And so Tony goes on to say, between this and you thinking Wisconsin's going to upset Ohio State, you're going to have a rough weekend, Pat.
Oh, God.
Yes, it could be, but Somebody here has got to be Mr. Glass half full. I'm not telling you what it's half full of at this early hour, but I'm half full of something.
One of my buddies texted and said, I kind of hope we just get swept so that this doesn't just keep in consuming my life.
Well, that part is true, because again, the series would come back for a game six, you know, but to do that, we're going to have to win tonight and again tomorrow. So That's a tall order. And I mean, it is really, I hate to say it, it is grudgingly impressive to watch how the Dodgers are hitting on all cylinders. And yeah, you got a $500 million payroll. You better be hitting on all cylinders, but they are. And when they are, it's, you know, it's something to see. I mean, they're doing something that hasn't been done for quite a while. No defending champion, and they are the defending champions, no defending champion has even reached the World Series since the 2009 Philadelphia Phillies.
Really?
And no team has won consecutive World Series since the Yankees took three in a row in 98, 99, and 2000 before Mr. Olson was a glean in Mr. and Mrs. Olson's eyes.
Is this true?
Goes back a ways. So the game tonight, which could be it, or it could be a reason to keep hope alive. Pre-game coverage begins at 7 o'clock on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, with the first pitch at 7:38. And again, there will be a game tomorrow if the Brewers win. And if they win that game too, then back to American Family Field on Monday. And if it's 2004 all over again, game seven will be on Tuesday at American Family Field. One can dream.
A lot of ifs.
Dreams are free, Parker. Dreams are free. We got that going for us. Okay. Maybe let's get to the other part of that equation of this most amazing weekend in sports. When you look back at this weekend and say, this was an incredible weekend, it'll also be because the Wisconsin Badgers somehow beat Ohio State, the number one team in the country, in a football game. And coverage on that game begins at 12:30 tomorrow on several Civic media stations. And the kickoff, I believe, is 2:30, if I'm not mistaken. But 12:30 is when the pregame begins on your favorite Civic media station. And you're going to be looking back at this weekend and going, I cannot believe what the Brewers did. I cannot believe what the Badgers did to Ohio State. And then you wrap up the weekend with the Packers taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Coverage begins Sunday afternoon at 1 on several Civic media stations with a kickoff at 3:25. What an amazing weekend this could be. Could. Emphasis could. On could.
Could.
Boy, the word could is doing a lot of heavy lifting. Yes, sir.
That might be the biggest could I've ever seen.
Again, there's a reason for the Roy Kent coffee mug on Fridays. There's just some things we only Roy can say as far as what our odds look like this weekend.
Yeah, it's you know, this is the most Wisconsin sports thing that I can think of.
Now, again, we are a radio show, but we are in social media. And so Tony adds, clearly watching on YouTube, the look on Parker's face to Pat's unbridled optimism is priceless. Probably because he knows I don't buy it either, but somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say it's possible. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
We have to deal in the realm of the possible.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's all fantasy and or it's all woe is me. And we're not going to do that today. We're not in the pity pool today, kids.
Oh,
maybe Monday, because the Badgers might be the first to lose by triple digits in a long, long time. And the Brewers could get embarrassed, and the Packers could, I can't even think of the radio-friendly euphemism here, but they could do something. And Monday morning could be, you know, just as morose as can be.
I don't ask for pity. I will just wallow.
There may be wallowing. I totally understand that. But I would love to hear, see, or read some attempts at either optimism from folks or change the subject entirely for something new and good. Let's see what Jim says on the text from Brookfield. I'm not pre-reading this, so here we go. While the 2004 Red Sox provide a glimmer of hope, the bottom line is that the second season, the playoffs, always belong to the team who is healthy, happy, and peaking at the right time. Unfortunately, the Brewers are not any of the above.
Happy
Jim
the first
is officially
half.
Morose. He's welcome to the pity pool, buddy. It's here. There's plenty of room in the deep end. Come on in. The water's just, well, it's not even water.
It's beer. It's so much beer.
This would be a good chance for me to say, yes, again, we would love to have your input on things today at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can put a text on the Civic Media app. You can use the voice note feature of the Civic Media app. You can put comments on the YouTube or Facebook pages where we stream this fine radio show, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, the Civic Media YouTube and Facebook pages. I am relatively certain that we're going to have some good stuff to talk about in terms of local pizza joints. I haven't seen the daily newsletter yet that Ellie puts together for Up North News, but I know that she was on Fridays asking people to send in for their top Wisconsin pizza places. And let's see what we got. Oh, yep. Look, that's a beautiful looking piece. She gives shout outs from our readers to Joe's Fox Hut in Fond du Lac. Says best thin crust pizza with a tangy sauce. Tony and Maria's in Janesville, fresh ingredients and so much cheese, says Patty. Wisco's in Eau Claire, Dina Mia in Rhinelander, Harry's Prohibition Bistro in Sheboygan, Brick's Neapolitan Pizza in Hudson, and Harry's Pizza e Vino in Elkhart Lake are some of the local pizza joints that people sent in by reading our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. You can get in the game. Send us some of your favorite local pizza places, and maybe somebody will be trying something new based on the results of that. All right. Well, as you can imagine, it's a Friday, and we have all the best recurring characters coming in. Kia Vakil is coming up next, along with Billy Ball, my Courier newsroom partner from North Carolina, our regular review panel with Jim Santel and Mark Jacob. and Jennifer Schulze. We've got Kristen Lierley is off, so we'll talk to State Senator Jeff Smith, and we'll have Mike Clemens with sports. All that and more ahead on a busy Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitel. You're up north. Oh, and Greg Mock, too.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is 6:22 now on this Friday morning. And as always, we're talking with Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil, and joined this week by senior editor of the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina, Billy Ball. Billy, Kia, good morning.
Hey there.
Nice to see you both. Unfortunately, it's not for the best of topics. We would be talking to Kia anyway about the way that the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments this week that could lead to the further gutting or perhaps just the inevitable death, it feels like, of the Voting Rights Act. But piggybacked onto that are recent developments in Billy State, North Carolina, where the Cardinal and Pine is the Courier Newsroom sister publication there. And the headline there this week is that North Carolina Republicans, at Donald Trump's behest, are gerrymandering North Carolina again. Billy, A, what are they doing or thinking they want to do? And B, can they get away with it?
Oh, absolutely, they can get away with it. They've gotten away with it numerous times in the last 15 years or so. So I don't find that far-fetched at all. But a little bit of background on this is that a few weeks ago, we started getting rumors that that Phil Berger, who is, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably the most powerful lawmaker in North Carolina. He's the Senate president, a Republican. He's also in a primary to stay in the legislature. There were rumors that he was seeking an endorsement from Trump in his primary, and Trump, in exchange, wanted him to gerrymander North Carolina a little bit more.
For clarification, we were pre-recording this, and that's where we lost Billy. But I think Kia, since he did such a good job setting it up, we just want to carry on, and maybe Billy can rejoin us again. We'll see. But I mean, the key phrase there was Donald Trump's
endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, look, Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party. It is a cult of personality. We know this. He does, unfortunately, carry a lot of sway with his endorsements. And, you know, Phil Berger, who is the Republican Senate Majority Leader in North Carolina, you know, he's been in office for quite a while, and he has a primary challenger to his right. And so he wants Trump's endorsement to fend off that challenger. And in exchange, he's going to gerrymander the maps in North Carolina to give Republicans an extra seat there in what is basically, like, you know, a 52-48 state. They're going to have 11 of 14 seats.
And it is the inevitable fate of something that started with what was partially a Wisconsin case like a decade ago, it feels like now, when now retired Justice Anthony Kennedy made the bold claim that essentially there can't be such thing as a political or a partisan gerrymander that is illegal, and that essentially it was, you know, the trust factor. We were mutually assured destruction. The parties would behave, because if they do it, then the other guys are going to do it someday. And Trump's Republican Party is like, no, if it's not illegal to do a partisan gerrymander, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, it turns out you need guardrails for democracy. You know, we've seen those guardrails fall away one by one over the last 15 years, whether it's Citizens United, whether it's the various rulings weakening the Voting Rights Act.
What is, as best you can tell, is the legal argument that there's supposed to be a statute of limitations on the Voting Rights Act because of the terrible things that happened in the decades earlier, but that, you know, now they don't apply to the terrible things that are happening now?
Yeah, that seems to be Brett Kavanaugh's belief that, you know, these sorts of, you know, considering race and the history of racism and poll taxes and everything in the U.S. Under the Voting Rights Act, considering that as a factor, should only be permitted for a short period of time. Unclear what that is. But this very much goes back to the similar ruling about a decade ago when John Roberts struck down key provisions of the Voting Rights Act, you know, more or less saying that times have changed and we don't need this.
I think we've got Billy Ball back from North Carolina, so let's bring him into this as well. And Billy, one of the things we were talking about, there've got to be a fair number of Republican folks out there that, you know, still have a moral compass to say this ain't right.
If they can squeeze out, at Trump's request, if they can squeeze out one more seat, which looks like they're trying to do, is move it to 11. That's the goal. And frankly, it's kind of difficult to see, because it seems as if North Carolina is as gerrymandered as it could possibly be. So in some fashion, they're going to have to make some of their Republican districts, their solid Republican districts, a little more competitive in order to do this. So it's a strange situation, but they likely are intending to get at least another seat on
this. So Kia, let's wrap up with this from a California perspective. We know that voters are going to be asked to change the maps to basically add 5 Democratic seats to offset the 5 in Texas. And yet now all of these other Republican states are starting to act as well. Do you think that leads California voters to be more skeptical of this, or that in the end they're going to say, well, we're going to do our part to try to protect democracy?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to pass. We're going to pass it quite handily. I think California voters will probably, you know, that will probably increase the urgency of passing this. You know, we are a 60-40 state, and even if it doesn't pass by that margin, I would be very surprised if it doesn't pass. Obviously, there's a lot of money being spent on both sides, and awareness isn't necessarily that high. But, you know, the most aware part of the electorate are the liberal base. And so I do think the odds of it passing are quite good. It's just, you know, as other states do it, the effects of us, California, pushing back are going to obviously be minimized in the long run.
Kiev Akil is the national political editor for Courier Newsroom, and Billy Ball is senior editor at the Cardinal and Pine from Courier Newsroom at cardinalpine.com, a name I will always be jealous of, because we have pines here, we have cardinals here, but Billy went and got it first. So
they belong to us, Pat.
What are you going to do? Billy, thank you so much. Kia, thanks. Have a good start to the weekend.
Thank you.
You too.
Coming up next, Greg Bach drops by and I'll tell him don't go changing to try and please me as we take care of today's history lesson with an emphasis on us nerding out over the Billy Joel documentary. That and much more ahead on a Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 97.5 WFHR.
The U.S. is still in a bit of a tight spot when it comes to soybeans, with no buys coming from China and a large supply coming from the harvest. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and there is a lot of work being done to try to find some new markets. The United Soybean Board Director, Nancy Kavazanjian, is here to share a bit about how they're trying to get more soybeans into Africa.
In Africa, more than 70% of the farmers are women. So it is important to have other women farmers there to talk farmer to farmer. Nigeria is the largest country in Africa. It also is a major aquaculture market. It's a country that needs more protein to feed their markets and feed their people. So if we can show them how to do a better job of raising their fish more efficiently using soy, it's a win-win both for us because we're developing markets for soy and they're developing markets to feed their people.
Nancy Kavazanjian, the United Soybean Board Director. And as someone that likes both soybeans and fish, it just sounds like a great partnership that hopefully we can move forward on. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone, kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. With spooky season here, the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center will be extending their Halloween festivities to 2 days. The first day will be Saturday, October 25th, and the second day will be Friday, October 31st. When you're there, there's so much to do with treats, costumes, animals, corn maze, and lots of Wisconsin products. If you like this news and want more of it, make sure to download our brand new Midwest Farm Report app on your app store. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm for mid-October. An isolated shower or two possible late in the afternoon with highs in the low to mid-70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms likely tonight with lows in the lower 50s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, highs near 70. Right now, it's 57.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on!
And save! Badgers win the shootout!
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine. A Week in Review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
All right, in today's history lesson, let's start with this week in 1989 when Billy Joel released the album Stormfront with some enduring hits such as that one, I Go to Extremes, Shameless, which was later made popular by Garth Brooks, and We Didn't Start the Fire, all part of Stormfront, released this day in 1989. You know what? Let's just park the rest of this. The rest of the history, if we get to it, we get to it, but you know what? Greg Bach is here now, and Greg Bach and I, we have completely nerded out on the Billy Joel documentary on HBO Max. Can you affirm that for us, Mr. Bach? Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Parker. And I can confirm and not deny that I watched both parts in a row thinking to myself, all right, you know, I'll watch like an hour because I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then I watched the whole first half. I'm like, I'll just start the second half. And then it was like dark outside. I said, well, that was a day I could have done stuff. But hey, no. I've learned.
Yeah, you've learned that that was a very compelling documentary that will eat up 4 hours and 50 minutes. And if you have any appreciation for Billy Joel, you will enjoy all 4 hours and 50 minutes of it. As we did. I mean, just there's the personal story, of course, with the father who really got him into classical music, but then abandoned him at the age of eight. He was never quite the same after the war. He had witnessed so many atrocities and things, and he just up and left. And Billy Joel's mom had some issues as well. So he just buried himself in his music. And we're just here to talk about just the songwriting, the lyrics that were based on all kinds of real life experiences. And Greg, here's where I really get into trouble. All right. Okay. The Beatles. Beatles were the great. Beatles were the best. Okay. Beatles did a lot of She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah. I mean, they really captured the overall essence of feelings and the human experience. Billy Joel, on the other hand, was like, here's my personal experience and I'm going to write a song about it.
Absolutely. His was my favorite kind of song. It still is. When you listen to like the Eagles or Steely Dan or Billy Joel, the personal touches, but also the snarky, sarcastic nature of lyrics.
Yep.
And the thing I always think about is early in his career, he's got management, he's got a buzz, people are talking, and he goes to LA and he hates LA. So he writes a song making fun of LA and they're like, get out. And he's like, yeah, I sabotaged it. I don't know what I was doing, but that's what I did. I'm like, okay.
Just what it does. Now, when he writes from experience, I mean, it all starts with this one first early hit when he wrote Just the Way You Are.
Yes.
Oh. That's your cue, Parker.
He's too into this song
now. He's like, I'm loving I Go to Extremes. I'm just going to play all of this.
I was very interested in that one. I'm not going to lie.
Try
and please me. So much of this song and so many others are about the woman who would become his first wife, Elizabeth. And that's a story in and of itself. And that one I don't want to do a spoiler alert on how they met and how they came to be together. It was complex.
Well, and also it's a beautiful story too, that, like, honestly, I think regardless of their status still endures. Like, they're still like,
oh yeah,
it wasn't the stereotypical, you know, messy, disgusting divorce, and now everyone hates each other. There's something there, and it's a beautiful story between just the two of them. And this song is great because when you hear it, that opening organ chord, those notes, it almost like you're like, oh, this song is good. And also there's a very 70s aspect to this song. There's very mid to late 70s feel about this tune. I love it.
He could really write to the times, and some of it was about Elizabeth, and some of it was about the other things that he was going through with his life, like having to, again, because he signed a bad record deal, his first one, to get out of it, he had to play anonymously, and that's where we get this next song, Piano Man, coming from. It's at that point the crowd goes wild, and you know, you can't hear anything the rest of the song because the crowd just
And I would venture, you know, in the annals of songs sung by the audience, I think this outdoes Sweet Caroline. I think it will go for Sweet Caroline they always do the chorus, that's great. But this song, I've watched videos of entire audiences singing the entire song.
Yes, because you can. Because you can, even if you don't play the instrument, you can relate to him trying to grind out a living and the people that he's meeting. And, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and what I loved is that in this documentary, like, you get to know the characters in the song. You've always known their names and what they do.
Yep.
But he fleshes them out even further, so you get to, like, experience who they are in his life personally.
Around that same time, you mentioned, as you said, Say Goodbye to Hollywood and The Entertainer, two songs which really summed up his feelings about people who criticized him or who who'd done him wrong. He had kind of a darker phase at times with songs like The Stranger and with songs like Big Shot. Let's play that one next.
Oh.
And I love that he was so honest that not only is he still writing the songs about personal experiences, like this one is about his waning days with Elizabeth, but he said, I purposefully wrote the songs for glass houses to be big and loud because I love performing those on stage. So, you know, why doesn't he do Just the Way You Are, the nice little melodies? Because he's now played on stage and realizes you need big songs for a big audience, and glass houses is full of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And by the way, in between
those lyrics, just like, oh.
Tom Perignon in your hand and a spoon up your nose, yes. But at that point, because he went from, the 52nd Street album, which had a very New York City vibe, to Glass Houses, which was loud and brash, he was really getting trashed by the critics because the critics wanted to pigeonhole him, and he refused to be pigeonholed. So then that takes us to the Nylon Curtain album, where he really started to comment more on society, where you've got songs like Pressure, you got Allentown, which is usually the one you would play for Nylon Curtain, where he's really commenting on society. But I would rather highlight Goodnight Saigon, where he was talking to friends of his who served in Vietnam. They wanted a song about it. He said, I've never served. They said, listen to us tell our stories. The song that he wrote, this one right here, is probably the one you most likely at home haven't heard, and you need to hear it.
Yes.
On Paris Island, we left as inmates from an asylum.
But then, in a massive pivot, Billy Joel got away from the music business for a bit. He went down to St. Bart's in the Caribbean and was just, you know, kicking it around. He was playing piano in a bar just for fun when in walks Christy Brinkley. As happens to all of us at some point, right? You know, a supermodel comes walking into your life. Next thing you know, he's writing the Innocent Man album with a whole different genre of music, including one specifically written and a video starring Christy Brinkley.
Even Parker knows it. I was gonna say, Parker, like, you know, I mean, I know you've heard of Billy Joel. Of course you have. You've heard the songs. But he was one of those artists back in the early to mid 80s who was so big. He was everywhere. He was touring everywhere. He was on every radio station all the time. You could not, honestly, if you didn't like Billy Joel, it was a sad time for you because that you couldn't get away from him.
Because it was, yeah, it was. But chances are you did because you may not have liked everything, but there was something in all of that writing that resonated with you. One more I want to highlight from that album, So Many Off Innocent Men, but Leave a Tender Moment Alone. I mean, just for the harmonica playing, if nothing else, but the lyrics and everything else. Well, anyway, that's when, about this time, Billy Joel finds out that he made another bad deal by making his ex-wife's brother his manager.
Womp, womp.
$1 million embezzled later. God. And Christie Brinkley was actually the first one to kind of notice, like, Billy, where's the money? Where's it going? Yeah. And they figured out they can't get it back. The only thing to do is to get back out on the road. And he did. I mean, he did Baby Grand. He did, and then everything else that led to Stormfront and the song that we were playing before. But his drinking was getting in the way as well.
Yeah.
And Elton John, by the way, the cameos in here, besides Elton John, I mean, so many people that you know by one name, Sting, Bruce, Pink, Garth, Nas, Sir Paul. Okay, that was two, but you know what I mean. And Elton John saying, your drinking is getting in the way of things.
Yeah, when Elton John... Yeah. The man who invested early in Cocaine Inc. When Elton John tells you you have a problem, you might need to look at yourself in the mirror. Yeah, I mean, and that relationship... I remember as a kid, being like wait... Billy Joel is marrying Christie Brinkley. Wait, do I have a shot?
With we all learned.
No,
we
I could. Don't.
But, we could, but don't but let that drinking get in the way. Yeah.
But one that with that when they're talking to her, like it's another one of those things where it's the dissolution of that relationship is heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it's heartbreaking.
And yet, when you can get all four of your ex-wives to be part of a documentary, and all of them express ongoing admiration for him. And he for them, you know that there was a pretty good heart there on the inside.
Absolutely.
So he does no more writing at that point. He's like, I am tapped out. He describes it as some kind of a beautiful torture, something like that. And he hasn't written pop songs since. But you know what? For that time that he put things out, again, much like the Beatles, pretty good run. You know,
and I'll say one last thing about it too is that, you know. You can say you respect him as a songwriter. You can respect him as a player. You can respect him. And there's no way you can get away from how great he is. But the thing that I actually have the most admiration for is the fact that after his pop career, he started writing classical music. He was writing it,
yes,
like notation-wise, writing the actual music. And he said to himself, I don't have the talent to play this. Billy Joel said that. I don't have the talent to play this. I'll find the kind of humility you have to have in a world where you are Billy Joel to say, no, I don't have the chops. I'll get the guy who can.
And I can write it, but somebody else can play this better than me. And he found that person.
Oh my goodness. I was like, I didn't know he had done that. I thought he played it. I didn't realize he didn't play it. And when he says, yeah, I can't do this, I'm like, what musician of his level actually has that kind of inner monologue of critique?
I will say, not to the same degree when we talk about the Beatles, but to know to bring in Billy Preston was a pretty good deal. By the way, I skipped a step before he completely tapped out of writing. River of Dreams was the last thing that came out. We'll play a little bit of that as we start to wrap things up. Then came all the Madison Square Garden shows. No new material. You don't need new material.
No.
You got a pretty good set list to work. That three-ring binder that he has on the piano is pretty thick, you know?
Yeah.
And now he's just trying to be a good dad, like he said. He had young kids really late in life. I get really tired just thinking about it. But he's doing it, you know? And good on him.
Yeah.
So there you go. That was our Billy Joel appreciation segment. So that we get it all out of our system in one fell swoop. Rather than continuing to torture you with it in drips and drabs. We're done now. Like Billy Joel, we're tapped out. We'll never talk about him again. Some of you will have a local news break. Others will come back and we'll yammer about some of the other stuff that actually happened on this day in history. You can listen on the Civic Media app, Facebook or YouTube. And then we'll catch you after the 7 o'clock news across the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. Somebody stole. Somebody stole. I don't know why I've been walking at night, but now I'm tired and I don't want to walk anymore. Hold me close and take the rest of my life until I find what it is I've been looking for.
as Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs, don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Thursday, October 16th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our old friend, good friend, Ben Eberlein is with us, human development and relationship educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Ben, good to see you.
Great to hear your voice, James.
It's great to have you in studio talk again. It always feels like it's been too long whenever we get to hang out. And appreciate you and, of course, the team at Extension and all the great work that you guys do in this community. We were just talking about the last time we were with Extension, Science by the River, and we're very excited about that. And there's so many other things that we're able to do when we talk with Extension, and we have available in this community because of Extension, UW Extension, and the work that's done over there. One of the things that we don't get always a chance to highlight that I thought, you know, in You thought, Ben, that would be a good one, is open enrollment season. Let's start off right there and let people know what open enrollment season is for and what it involves.
Exactly. It's spooky season.
Yes, spooky season. Yes.
Yeah, open enrollment can be very spooky for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. You got to, you know, make some, it's a good reminder to, you know, take a look at what your insurance or your coverage or your benefits and your finances and all these things that are not real warm, fuzzy kind of topics, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a great time of year to really spend a little time and actually be a little more intentional and take a beat to, you know, have conversations with family, have, you know, take a look at what that coverage is like. It's probably changing, yeah. You know? At least I know for a lot of folks out there, prices aren't going down on things.
So. Right, right. All good notes, all really noteworthy. When it comes to, especially this time of year, and it's interesting, we were talking about this on the morning show a little bit. Even if you don't have kids in school, the start of the school year kind of like gets people this almost reset, or at the very least kind of thinking about, oh, the end of the year is getting closer. And that's oftentimes when people are looking at budgets, when they're thinking about bills or different things that, well, hey, I was paying more on this than I was last year or less or whatever it might be. And kind of trying to figure out your budget, trying to figure out looking ahead how you're going to map things out. And then you throw the holidays into it.
Exactly.
And that really can throw things off and really be quite a bit for people to handle and stuff. And I'm like a lot of things in life, there's a lot of things to check off here on your to-do list. But if you take them on one at a time, it's not so bad, not so hard. And especially if you spread it out throughout the year.
That's and honestly, for exactly what you're talking about, a lot of times there's so many times throughout the year where there's always something coming up, and that's part of what makes if you're not a budgeter already, or if you know it's something you got to work on, or it's something you have thought like, man, I really would like to get a little bit better control over my finances. It can feel really daunting because of that.
So much of what we're talking about here for a long, long time, the generations before your and I generation and stuff. There was no playbook for this. They didn't have an extension with resources or things like that. So most of them, they learned, on the cuff, on their own, and they handed down that information to us. So it's not as if anybody, any generation necessarily, maybe the younger ones, have really had a blueprint, have really had a lot to go off of other than, well, I know this worked for my parents, but my parents also had a completely different paycheck that I have, or the prices of things were completely different and everything. So these lessons or these, habits or whatever you want to word them as, they're all well and good and well intended, but I don't know that they're necessarily the blueprint that is going to work for you in 2025. I think that there all of a sudden becomes, oh no, what do I do then? And yeah, you can throw things into your Googler and all that and everything, but I think that a much better option for people is taking advantage of some of the resources that are available at extension. Because nowadays, we've got this as availability that our generation, our parents' generations didn't really have.
Yeah, and you nailed it. I mean, you hit on a point that I think is really present for a lot of families and people out there, that if they didn't learn a lot of the, financial or basic personal finance kind of skills from their parents, which most people don't,
Yeah.
Most people aren't, unless you're in a financial profession, it's not something that comes naturally, because it can feel very overwhelming and complicated. So yeah. So if it's something that you don't learn as a kid through watching your parents, or, if it's not something you learned in school, which until recently that hasn't really been a big focus for curriculum, but it is really nice that we have the opportunity to fill that gap at Extension. We've got tons of resources just online. You can access them anytime on your schedule and go at your pace. So it's another thing where in the past you might have had to seek out a financial professional, make an appointment, probably pay a pretty penny to get, financial guidance. But that's why, it's so nice that we can use technology for all the, for all the TikToks and things like that out there.
Oh, yeah.
We also have the beautiful opportunity to use technology for the positives here.
Yeah. It's a really cool thing to be able to offer to the community. And as far as those resources, there's budget spending plans. There is templates people can download, other things like that, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. So at finances.extension.wisc.edu, you can find all that kind of stuff. Find our Wood County page. And we have all sorts of different resources, like you mentioned, resources, templates. But whatever works for you, it's going to be different for everybody, right? I'm not a receipt person. I'm pretty good with spreadsheets. Other people maybe not, and a template might be better. So I really encourage anybody that's even kind of remotely thinking about this kind of stuff, get out there, take a look at the resources that we have, and get some ideas what might work for you. Because right now is such a good time. Like you said, we're all coming up on the holidays, which can throw wrenches into budgets. But if you get started, the thing that I think for me at least, and not to say that everybody is like me, but the thing that I have had the hardest time, and I'm not a good budgeter, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a spender. The hardest thing for me is when I do create a budget, I idealize this is where I should do this and that, and I can save this much, or, this is how all my finances will shake out if I follow this, and then I don't follow it, and I'm like, okay, that's out.
You and I are very similar in this regard, yes.
But
very much the same way.
So yeah, if you get started right now, it's something that you come back to each month. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, but it makes sure it grows with you. And that way you can spend the next few months and, you know, work with your budget, redo it. And, you know, when you track your spending over the next couple months and see what worked, what didn't, that way, when you start out next year in January, you're going to be off to a much better start than trying to, okay, in the new year, I'm going to make this big change, you know, because who sticks with their...
Right, right. It's no different than a diet or a workout plan or a lot of those things. We have good intentions, and hopefully we stick to them to a degree, but very few stick to it completely. And you mentioned a couple of things there, Ben, that I think are really important in this conversation. We don't tend to think about very
you
much.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump meets with Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House after penciling in a summit with Russian President Putin in Hungary.
Marco Rubio is going to be meeting with his counterpart, as you know, Lavrov, and they'll be meeting pretty soon. They're going to set up a time and a place very shortly. Maybe it's already set up. They've already spoken.
The Kremlin says there's lots to work out still. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal's worried after President Trump authorized covert CIA operations inside Venezuela.
This potential for undeclared war is deeply troubling.
The Social Security Administration's warning beneficiaries to watch out for a bogus letter from the Supreme Court. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
The scam letter provides a fake website link designed to steal logins and passwords, and it may ask for credit card information. It may also be followed up by a text message and or phone call.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.